Hello and welcome to Heart Yoga Radio. We're having our daily walk through the Welsh Hills today, and we thought we'd do the next episode of our Lao Tzu series. So we are on chapter 42. So Pete's going to read it out and then we'll have a little chat about it.
The Tao gives birth to the One. The One gives birth to the Two. The Two give birth to the Three. The Three give birth to every living thing. All things are held in yin and carry yang. And they are held together in the chi of teeming energy.
Okay, so what do you think this one's about then?
Lao Tzu here is giving us a picture of the cosmos and existence itself. And it's a very ancient one. It was found in many parts of the ancient world. The ancient Indian Samkhya, a kind of primordial physics, a speculative cosmology, takes exactly the same tack. And it's a tack which is in which the imagination is captured by numbers. Those strange and wonderful things, numbers. And I should mention that this schema, this numerical ladder, you might call it, is descriptive of the microcosm, in other words, the human being, as much as it's descriptive of the macrocosm, the universe at large. And the idea is that everything comes out of the One. Well, actually, it comes out of the Zero, out of the neuter immensity. And Lao Tzu has frequently alluded to this in the chapters that we've already covered. He often talks about everything coming out of the nothing. Well, after Zero, of course, is One. And that nothing is just the neuter immensity. It's a primordial Tao. But after that comes the One. It's almost like the Big Bang when there's no space and time. Then the singularity, a point instance of space and time, and then that exploding outwards in the Big Bang into the expanding universe. You can say that even in modern times, with perhaps more sophisticated mathematics, but nevertheless this same archetypal pattern is impressing itself on our imaginations. And on our attempts to describe the universe. So out of the One comes the Two. And the Two are, well, yin and yang in this case. Then at that point you've got the idea of a sexual union between opposites, producing the children, which are the things of the universe, the things which are in the universe. In some translations, it goes on at this point, and the Two give birth to the 10,000 things, which is just it's like the universe that we know, with all its objects in it, you know, planets and stars and jellyfish and other such objects and creatures.
10,000 things.
Yeah, which are lovely poetic phrase. To say this translator hasn't sort of quite gone down that road, but so you got this idea, the void, which he doesn't mention in this chapter, but which elsewhere he tells us about, and then the One, the great One, the unity, the singularity, and then that splitting in order to mate with itself. I mean, it's some sort of Neoplatonism, the idea like God was lonely, so he split himself. I call this kind of thing a numerical ladder. And there's a descent of some animating principle into the world. But for human beings who want to acquaint themselves with the Tao, the idea is that you can go back the same way. That you can go up the ladder, so I call it like a numerical ascent. And though Taoism does float the idea that we can have some kind of immediate access to the Dao. It also puts forward the idea that you can do like a gradualist path, you might call it that, and simply ascend the ladder which has produced the world through a descent. So you've got descent and ascent, or evolution. The world evolves, and we can go through a process of involution through some kind of introspection, or turning inwards into the microcosm, and going back up the ladder, as it were. And that's hinted at in this chapter. So the other things that he mentions, that the roles of the yin and the yang, and the role of the yin is to hold everything. It's like everything in the world is held, as it were. It's held in its identity by its boundary, and its processes are contained in its identity by some kind of boundary, even though that boundary in Taoism is understood as temporary. But the yin does the holding, and the yang does the thing of being internal. It's the way in which the Dao is inside everything. You'll hear me say when we do this podcast, it surrounds everything, contains everything, originates everything, is everything. Everything contains its own instantiation of it and its own participation in it. And this is the internality of that, is the yang of it. So it's a cosmology, it's a picture, it's an imaginative picture. It's one that the human imagination comes up with in many times and places through its knowledge of numbers. And there is a philosophical conundrum at the heart of this story that I think is still alive and well. And the idea is that somehow the universe is composed of mathematics, or, if you like, composed even of logic, which of course is closely related to maths, to counting and to number. And if you go back over these podcasts, you can find an account of Bertrand Russell's and Alfred North Whitehead's attempt to show that logic, to show that arithmetic can be derived from logic. An attempt which took many hundreds of pages of close reasoning and which failed, as it happened. But nevertheless, there's this primordial idea. And since the European Enlightenment and Newton's and Francis Bacon's and Galileo's elaboration of mathematical physics, which enabled some fairly accurate predictions to be made of how things might unfold with particular phenomena in the physical material world, it's very tempting to be inspired by the success of those mathematical predictive efforts to think, well, the universe is mathematical, its underlying structure is mathematics. Of course, the other view is that, well, some maths enables us to describe some phenomena, even though there are always a few anomalies. But we shouldn't conclude anything more from that than the fact that this human technique, this human instrumentality, works. It functions, it works. And we shouldn't conclude anything about the deep structure of the universe, perhaps being content to find it mysterious. And I think actually ultimately Lao Tzu is content to find it mysterious. You know, the ineffable is always there in his talk. You know, the Tao which can be named is not the real Tao. So similarly, the Tao that can be enumerated and expressed in a mathematical formula enabling predictions is not the real Tao either. So there's a big philosophical issue there, and it's not going to jump out at most people. And it certainly is a very poetic, imaginative description of existence itself, of the cosmos itself. And employed within it is the notion that we can find our way back, as it were.
So short and sweet does the treat. I hope everyone's all right out there, bearing up. Very difficult times, I know. I hope you found that interesting, hopefully useful. And make knowledge great again. And we'll speak to you soon.
Yeah, thanks for listening. And thanks to our patrons for helping us to keep this thing going.